look ahead towards the regular season. The Eagles have now had their dress rehearsal. 3 games are in the books for the Eagles in this preseason. What should Eagles fans take away from what they've seen so far from the Chip Kelly era?
I think, Chris, when you look at the 3 games, you see the function of the offense. A lot of shotgun spread tonight, a lot of no huddle. It needs to be a little bit more smooth, but you saw the offensive line get after it in a big way. There were some mental breakdowns, especially on the interior. Some plays I'd like to have back, but I think overall, remember, Jason Peters played for the first time. You saw at times they were absolutely dominant, some great kickout blocks. Just look at my notes that I was taking during the game. There were some times when they all were simpatico. They all got it together. You always have to remember, when they're mental errors, it's usually because these guys haven't played together. And that's what's going to get better, I think. And Chip talked about it. He made a great point in his press conference after the game tonight. They're going to have tape. They're going to make the corrections, and they're going to go forward. Now, the only thing, as you said, tonight was a dress rehearsal. Chipley do not play the starters in the fourth preseason game. So that's going to be a big challenge. They're going to have to get it done in practice. Probably not in the game.
All right, so the Eagles once again able to move the football at will on offense. Michael Vick, his first preseason game since being named the starting quarterback back on Tuesday. What do you think overall of his performance tonight?
I thought mixed. I thought, obviously, the first 2 games he was tremendous. Second game, I mean, you couldn't be more accurate. This game, I thought he held on to the ball too long. And remember, they were going with more no huddle. Almost all of the plays were no huddle. So ball's got to be out quicker. I thought Nick Foles did a nice job, but the thing that I don't understand about Foles is the yards per pass attempt on, it's been really short. I know he's been accurate, but I want to see the ball down farther more. I don't understand why it's not going down there. He's got the arm strength. Now, he made one great throw where it was anticipation throw to Demaryius Johnson. Correct. In the second half. That was a great throw. He needs to trust what he sees. He's also had a problem with that, about not just taking the first guy, go through your progressions. I think both quarterbacks, we have to understand this. It's where we need to be fair. This is a brand new offense for these guys. They're not going to get it in 3 games, but you've seen a lot of good. I think the quarterbacks are fine. Things that need to be improved, which is really what you were talking about in the beginning. Run defense, got to be way better. Secondary has been a little bit better than we probably thought. Not a lot of big plays, but look who they play tonight. I mean, the quarterbacks for Jacksonville, not great. Run defense has to be fixed. I think the passing game needs to be a little bit more consistent. I think the run game has been good. Pretty solid. I want to see more big plays. We saw late in the game when the Eagles went against the Jags' 13 defense. Well, they destroyed them. Bryce Brown stayed in the game. Overall, Chris, need to be more consistent. But I think a lot of good, but some things need to be fixed.
So let's turn our attention real quick to the defensive side of the football. You mentioned the run defense. They gave up the one long touchdown run. What do you think happened from week 2, where they made drastic improvements against the Carolina Panthers, to the game this evening?
It's a good question. I think, without seeing the tape, we can only go by what we saw right away. And the run fits, really odd. I mean, the long touchdown run to Todman, it wasn't even a misdirection play. We were able to see the replay. They just overran it. They just went to one side, and no one had the backside. The backside runs are getting destroyed. I mean, every one you saw against the Patriots. LeGarrette Blount, of all people, got them badly when he did kind of like a 180. They've got to be better on the backside runs. The great thing about that is all correctable, very correctable. But, again, this is a new defense, and they've got to get used to it. They were also late on a bunch of runs. This is reminiscent of the New England game. This is all fixable and correctable. When they're watching that tape with Billy Davis tomorrow and Rick Minter, the inside linebackers, they got to do a better job. But also the DBs are also a little bit late. But the thing I love, though, their blitzes got home. Patrick Chung made some big plays tonight. See, that's the thing. You see some things that need to be fixed, but there's a lot of good stuff. The blitz packages are good. They gave the Jaguar offensive line some fits tonight.
Now, 2 of the top performers on defense, let's flash back that graphic. Connor Barwin makes his first interception as an Eagle. In fact, he's never had one in his NFL career, former second-round pick out of Cincinnati. Spent his first few seasons in the NFL with Houston, one of the big free agent signings this offseason. He comes up with a big interception, and that actually sparked the Eagles' offense to get their first touchdown of the day, a Michael Vick touchdown pass to wide receiver Riley Cooper.
You know, I like the way that Barwin dropped and Kendricks dropped, and then Kendricks as a blitzer got after it a little bit. Barwin knows how to drop, and it's funny. He's, if you've talked to him, he's got his hands on passes in the past with the Texans, but didn't catch them. We saw 3 or 4 of those tonight could have been interceptions. Against Chad Henne, especially, who started the game tonight for the injured Blaine Gabbert. And you saw there, what a great anticipation, because He read his eyes. When you do that and you trust your eyes, you're going to make the play. Now, you got to give Barwin credit. That was a great play. And I thought the discipline was much better against the pass tonight. They didn't give up a lot of big plays. So far, I think the secondary has actually been a little bit better than I thought. But early in the game there, they're giving up a little bit of spacing, which needs to be corrected.
Certainly. Now, Michael Kendricks was utilized again as a blitzer, was very effective in that second game against the Panthers, made some plays again tonight. Mm-hmm. What are the changes in terms of how Bill Davis has been using him these last 2 weeks to be able to make him more effective?
Yeah, and it's interesting. You see a lot of A and B gap blitzes from Kendricks. And the other thing is they have delayed blitzes, which I love. When you run a 34, it's great because they ran a full house blitz. They sent eight. And you saw the offensive lineman not having any idea what they were supposed to do. And it was great. They got after it. So you're just seeing, they're just scraping a little bit out there. They don't want to show a lot. If Billy Davis gets to do what he wants, if the players understand what they're being coached to do, they're going to run the Pittsburgh defense. This is what he wants to do. Zone blitz, fire zone, fire X, when you don't know who to block. You know, those are the things that gave Peyton Manning fits for years. There's 3-4 defenses when the offensive lineman didn't know who to block. When New England used to do that, well, you're going to see that with Billy Davis if he's able to get his players to execute the way he wants.
Shades of Jim Johnson with the fire zone blitzes.
Exactly,
so
exactly.
Certainly fans out there will certainly enjoy that. Up front for the Eagles defense, fans have to be very happy with the progress that Fletcher Cox has made, Cedric Thornton has made.
Thornton is a player, man. He gets off the ball. How about Vinnie Curry flashing again? You know, you wondered if he could play the 3-4. You know, when we first learned several months ago that he was going to play with his hand down, a 3-4. I don't think he could do it, but I'll tell you what, he hustles. He's got a great attitude. He never took it as, oh, man, I'm not sure if I can do it. He took it as a challenge. So far, Chris, he's living up to that challenge.
He bulked up 20 pounds, but yet he still seems to be the quickest person off the snap.
He beats it. It's so funny you say that because we were watching together. I don't know how he's not offside. He just avoids doing it. He's doing a great job. And you know, you talk about Thornton. Benny Logan and Square, these young defensive linemen, the Eagles are starting to, so far, now it's only 3 preseason games, they're really getting a lot out of these guys. They're well ahead of schedule, let's be honest. They're a lot farther along than we probably thought they could be.
Now, you mentioned the secondary. Let's turn our focus to them for a second here, especially that other safety spot opposite of Patrick Chung. Nate Allen got the start, but in the first half, he and Earl Wolfe alternated the series. What do you make of that position battle for who will get the right to start opposite of Patrick Chung?
Yeah, in fact, that's what I thought would happen when we knew that Nate Allen would start. Just because you start at a certain position doesn't mean you're going to finish. And that's what they want to see because they want to get Earl Wolfe snaps. And having them rotate, this is the best thing this late to do. Well, you got to figure out who gives you the best chance. And both got extensive work in, you know, early on, and I like that. Earl Wolfe's the guy, though. He's a guy who I think is more of a ball hawk. And I think at some point, Nate Allen's a little bit better athlete, but at some point they're going to figure out, you know what? I think Earl Wolfe down the line is going to be that guy, but right now I think Nate Allen's a little bit ahead.
I was just going to ask you, week 1, who will be the guy? That's the main thing.
You know, that's the thing. When they watch that coaching tape tomorrow, they're going to have to make that decision because you don't want to have to play them the 4th game. And I thought there were some good plays tonight. I mean, even Colt Anderson. I mean, he blew up the run a little bit, and we know he can do that.
Almost had an interception as well in a tip drill.
Yeah, they're getting a lot of mileage out of certain guys we didn't think they'd get on defense. And again, I think they're a little bit ahead on defense where we thought they would be, but the run defense, though, has got to improve by leaps and bounds. They've got to get those things corrected when they watch that tape.
Kerry Williams was a captain for tonight's game. This was his first real action because they played him a little bit differently. He was coming off the hamstring when he made his Eagles preseason debut last week against the Panthers. You got to see him in some man press coverage.
They did a lot of press tonight, Chris. That's what they want to do. And you see it right there. That is the key to this defense. When Billy Davis gets it going on there, Fletcher, who's a man press corner, it's really the scheme he's got to play, and you see it again. They're going to press those guys. And even there's a different way you could play press. You can play bump and run. There's several different versions of it. But the fact of the matter is, their press really worked well tonight. Yes, the Jaguars' receivers aren't very good overall, but Blackman did burn them a little bit. They gave up a couple plays, and remember when I talked about spacing? They're playing a little bit off, and Blackman took advantage of that.
All right, if you want to join the conversation, you're more than welcome to call in 215-320-5170. It's the post-game show presented by Rico, and let's turn back to the offensive side of the ball with Michael Vick. The one touchdown did come in the red zone, which was very encouraging. What did you think of his ability to bounce back after he was able to get the turnover, Not quite able to get points early on, but
good
got the turnover.
Yeah, it was a really
good
throw.
And made a nice touchdown throw.
Yeah, it was a great throw. Now, thing about Vic, though, you're also concerned with when he runs, he doesn't slide. He does the half slide with his shoulder, and he's got to get out of bounds. And you're watching the broadcast, Brian Baldinger made a great point. He's like, once you get the first down, get out of bounds. So you got to be careful. But I thought overall, a mixed bag for Vic tonight. The good thing, the accuracy is still there, which is good. I mean, that's what you want. But he needs to be quicker with that football, because I'm sure Chip Kelly and Pat Shermer is going to point it out when they watch the tape together. A lot of plays to be made. You can't hold on. When the offensive line's giving you 5 seconds or 6 seconds, that ball's got to be out. And there are plenty of plays in it where he got more than 4 seconds. I want to add this. Coaches have told me for years, if my line gives the quarterback 4 seconds or more, their job is done. It's up to the quarterback.
Certainly. We're going to go to the phone lines and bring in Joey from Florida. Of course, he wants to talk about the quarterback, one number seven, Michael Vick. Joey, welcome to the postgame show presented by Rico. You're on with Chris McPherson and Adam Kaplan.
Thank you, sir.
What's up, man?
How you doing?
Good. Doing good. What'd you think?
Well, I think the Eagles look really well tonight. And Michael Vick had a very good pass to Riley Cooper, and I think he's doing a very good job. And I think he deserves to be the starter.
No, Vick clearly won the competition. That's not the issue. And Riley Cooper, it's a guy we didn't even mention.
Yes.
There was one great block he made. He does so much that we don't talk about. He's very important to what they do, and he has that size, 6'2 and a half. He's a guy, remember when we went to the practice against the Patriots, he's a guy that I think is going to be very important. He's that tall receiver that you really need, and he's obviously going to start for Jeremy Maclin.
Certainly, and we'll watch the touchdown pass here from Vic. Does a great job just finding the soft spot in the zone coverage, and then Vic delivered a bullet to him, fired it into Cooper, and he came up with a touchdown. Very instrumental to have a guy with that size in the red zone.
Yeah, and he's kind of that young veteran, a guy now. He's in the final year of his contract in his fourth year. They need him, and they got him tonight. And when we come back, though, I want to talk about Demaryius Johnson.
Certainly.
Other than that fumble, what a great signing. You got to give the Eagles personnel staff. They beat out the Saints to sign him. That was a great job, and he is going to have a major impact on this team. You haven't seen anything yet, I'm telling you.
All right, we're going to delve into Demaryius Johnson, the rest of the offense, your phone calls, and a whole lot more coming up on the other side after this quick break here on the postgame show presented by Rico.
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay, you'd search by genre if you... If
Mindy Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control. All part of the X1 platform. Your entertainment operating system. Only from Xfinity.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed with your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
What celebrity do you get mistaken for?
Oh, well, this will be a Napoleon Dynamite for sure.
You don't want to get an animal into a camera shot with you because you have no idea what they're going to do. Right. It seems to me like you haven't been in the league that long, and yet now you're the old man. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
What do you miss about football?
Besides the paycheck?
You probably would have got smoked, Doc.
Bam!
All right, welcome back to the post-game show presented by Rico. I cannot wait to see all those great Eagles Television Network programs. Are you going to be helping out with the game plan show?
Actually? I don't know. But I love those interviews with Scott Graham. They're really good. And John Runyon, as a mayor.
Congressman.
I cannot believe it. Do you know how quiet he was when he first came here?
I remember how quiet he was. He didn't say much, but he was the quiet leader in the locker room.
Who would have believed he'd be a congressman?
Because you knew that when he spoke, you had to listen. Sure. I keep thinking back to that time when they played in Dallas and they're trying to run out the clock, and he tells Westbrook, you don't get the touchdown, you go down.
Go down. Right.
When Runyon tells you to do something,
you do it.
I think you're going to be
6'8", you better do it.
Certainly. Let's take a look at Vic's performance through the entire preseason, the first three games here. Obviously, it was spectacular in those first two games that earned him the starting job. But overall, look at that. Still,
the accuracy is great.
74% completion passes.
No question.
Certainly, you would like the touchdown interception ratio to be a little
first,
bit better.
The pick last week doesn't count.
It was a Hail Mary, end of the half. But still, and effective running the football as well. And what I like is you're seeing him get out of bounds. He's not taking a ton of hits.
Also, you and I were watching the game together, and I said to you twice, very smart move by Vic. He threw the ball out of bounds. Live for the next play. That's something that coaches say all the time. Just get rid of it. Don't worry about it. Go to the next play. But he did have the one bad decision. You can't just throw it up there for no reason. That cannot happen. A veteran at 33 years old cannot do that. But I think overall, this preseason he's been very good. And let's face it, last preseason he didn't have one because he got hurt. So far so good. And he did run the ball. He could still move, man. He there's no question about that.
Very, very elusive. We're going to go back to the phone lines again. If you want to jump on board and join us on the show, dial in at 215-320-5170, and we bring in Ken from New Jersey. Ken, welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico.
Thank you. How are you?
What's up, man? What did you think of the game tonight?
Oh, I think it was great. I think the offensive line did such a great job. They improved so much. Michael Vick was in the pocket a little bit more.
Yeah, it's a good point.
He was a little shaky, though. You know, he did throw it out of bounds. But other than that, I think the Eagles did great. I think Chip Kelly did a great job with Coles. This defensive, needs a little help. Other than that, it's been pretty good so far with the Eagles.
Ken, as an Eagles fan, you've now seen three preseason games, and I asked Adam this at the top of the show. What's your enthusiasm? What's your level of optimism going into the regular season?
I think the Eagles need to focus more on the defense. I believe that. I mean, I think the offense is doing okay. My optimism is the Eagles, put more points on the board early than later, because it did take them a while until, the second half, I believe, when Nick Foles made that last touchdown. But I think the Eagles will do a good job this year. I really do. I mean, I've heard people say negative things about the Eagles not doing a very good job with Chip Kelly this year, but he has shown that in preseason so far. So.
No, certainly. Ken, thank you very much for the phone call. And you've seen in each of the three games here, they've amassed over 400 yards of total offense. And I understand you're going through the first, second, and third string offenses and defenses here, but still to be able to consistently put up that much yardage.
It's good, but they have to score more points than that.
Of course.
They did tonight. There's no question about that. They moved it against really a defense that's not very good. Although Gus Bradley's got them play with much more discipline. He's getting as much as he can out of what he has to work with. But the fact of the matter is they need to score more points, and they did score 31 tonight, which is a good sign. And they finished well. I thought Foles finished the game well. And Vic was able to move the ball downfield, but Bryce Brown's turnover, obviously, was a killer.
That could have been a few more points.
We need to talk about that. This can't happen. And Chip, I'm just telling you, I mean, you hear him after the game in his press conference. He is bothered, and he's not going to put up with it, and you shouldn't. And that's the thing. Bryce Brown is so talented, Chris. But the ball security thing is an ongoing issue with this kid, and it's very simple. Ryan Baldinger talked about in the game. You keep doing this, you're not going to get on the field. And Chris Paul, he is tough. Now, he had a fumble last week against Carolina when he went right in the middle there. But these fumbles, the turnovers, Chris, have to stop.
Certainly. And it's amazing because you look at Bryce Brown's numbers, 11 carries for 92 yards.
Right.
and had the touchdown if he just didn't have that fumble. He could have had two touchdowns. He was that close.
Yeah, and then, of course, yeah, I mean, you have a touchback, so you got to be careful. The ball security thing is just, it's ridiculous. I understand he's a young player. Last year, he was a rookie. He was tremendous, but he hurt the team. Did it again. Now, this is a dress rehearsal game, but it's important. It's a third game. He'll play next week, obviously, because he's a backup. But that's something that they're going to have to fix. And season starts in 2 weeks. At Washington, it's got to get done now because he's going to play. This is a run-based offense. Let's get that perfectly clear. It's run first, pass second. That's the way this offense works. He wears them down. And when the defense comes in because they got to stop the run, they hit him deep. So Bryce Brown's going to play, and he's got to get this fixed.
Certainly. We're going to go back to the phone lines, and we're going to bring in Josh from Atlanta. Josh, welcome to the postgame show presented by Rico.
Thank you so very much. It's first and foremost, it's definitely an honor to be talking with you guys. Every night before I go to bed, I'm always on here, you know, looking for the most updated sites and listening to you guys talk and just kind of converse about, you know, how they need to get better and what they lack. Overall, you know, me being a diehard Eagles fan, it was okay. I just feel like with ball security, with Bryce Brown and Michael Vick, for the most part, Michael Vick did a well job. I just feel like Chip Kelly needs to make a more assertive effort to talk about ball security. I mean, the fumble from Bryce Brown took away 7 points. The interception from Vick, I think we were either close to or in field goal range. So that's 10 points taken off the board right there. In defense, I mean, we obviously have a lot of work to do. I really want to be optimistic because I love my Eagles, but you know, we've got to do a lot better in running defense and passing defense. So I really, you know, I know the 3-4 defense is going to be a bit of a transition, but I feel like we really, really need to definitely fix those issues before we hit the Redskins, because I watched the Redskins play today and they look really good.
Well, here's one thing I would tell you, though. You're not seeing anything on defense yet. I know that they've given up some yards against the ground. That needs to get fixed no matter what. But the blitz stuff, you haven't seen anything. They're not showing anything. They had one overload or full house blitz, which totally the Jags couldn't handle. I'm telling you, once the season starts, and it'll be interesting, assuming RG3 plays in week one, how they attack him. Because, listen, the run defense has been bad. And Alfred Morris is a very good running back, but... Yeah. I think they're going to fix this stuff. It's going to take some time, but I cannot wait to see what they do week one. It's sort of a chess match. I can't wait to see it.
Josh, thank you very much for the phone call. And you see it on the board right here. The Eagles had 6 trips into the red zone, and they capitalized on 3, which usually if you come out of a game with 3 successful red zone trips, you're saying, hey, you're probably going to come out with the win, but it was still 50%. So it's something you want to
do. Right, and you had a turnover, Chris, and you also had in the first half – you know, it's one thing. Their second and third teamers are doing better than the first team. They need to score touchdowns.
Certainly.
And that's something that they're going to just work on in practice. They've got plenty of time. They've got the practice that the fans could see, I think, on Monday, correct? It's the last one?
Yes.
Which is good. And the weather's great here. And the thing that you're not seeing, because they're not going to do it now, the ultra-super hurry-up thing, which I think will wear down defenses, that's going to happen early in the season. And then you're going to see how good of a condition this team is in, because remember the nutrition part of it and getting sleep, that's where that all takes place, when they're in better condition than their opponents. I'm telling you, you're going to see that early in the season.
Now, how frustrating must it be for the coaches, because you've seen the practices, and they have the rope drill where literally the running backs are holding the ball, tucked away, and they have a player tugging on it to try to pry it loose. And then you get into a game situation, and of course you revert to some old habits, some natural tendencies, like you said, and then you see what happens on the field. So that aspect of it has to be frustrating.
No, yeah, and I would leave you with this, with the fumbles. If you watch that fumble, Bryce Brown did not have it. He had a little higher, but he didn't have it tight. He had to wait for his body. He knows better than that. I know he's a young player, and that's the frustrating thing. He's not a veteran, but that's got to be changed, because until it's fixed, you have to wonder, could he be on the field? Chris Polk is, he did have the fumble in the other game, but how about that touchdown run he had?
Yeah.
Two guys fell off him. So it's something that the coaches have to, they're going to have a tough decision, because if this keeps happening, they can't have him in the game.
All right, we're going to go back to the phone lines. We're going to bring in Harvey from Texas. Harvey, welcome to the postgame show presented by Rico.
Hello, Chris. Let me take a minute to say I appreciate Adam's insights.
Thank you.
I enjoy his critiquing. But why I'm calling for an outsider's point of view is the fact that one of your local writers one time, I don't know if he was sarcastic or not this week, called Chip Kelly a genius. And my point I want to make is that you don't put in your playbook on dress rehearsal. You put in plays that are called vanilla. He had a lot of vanilla tonight. But when he needed it, Vic pulled it out the way he wanted them to. You remember, he's the coach. He's calling them crazy card plays, so he's got to do what the card says.
I didn't notice that because we weren't, like, at the game. Oh, I thought those are great. I tell you.
Wait, you didn't see Bart Simpson?
No, I didn't see it tonight.
There was Bart Simpson.
Great. Awesome. Awesome.
I've been watching for the last
Those are dummy calls anyway. It's just kind of funny.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There it is, right? Oh, it was in the background.
Oh,
there.
Was it okay?
See?
Nice. Nice. Good call, but good job, guys.
Yeah. But I just want to say I'm really looking forward to the season when the playbook's open.
I can't wait because, you know, everyone knows. We don't know what we're getting. We think we know what we're getting. We know schematically what it's going to be, but the play calling is it's going to be different. And
if you watch Nick in the second half,
yeah,
that's what he's doing. Now, Mike's got that down pat. Why show it to him until they need to?
No, certainly. Harvey, thank you very much for the phone call. One of the things that I'm enjoying the most about Chip Kelly, and it's refreshing, is just how simple he presents the game. He's not trying to sell himself as this genius, this architect of some, you know, newfangled offense. I mean, certainly it's a new wave, so to speak, in the NFL, and it's taking steam. But nonetheless, he's basically saying, look, when my quarterback comes to the line of scrimmage, can my offensive line block the guys they have in the box? And if so, you can run.
That's exactly what happened tonight. Yeah.
If not, you pass the ball.
I mean, it's funny, and you talk about blocking. When the five of the offensive linemen did their job tonight, I mean, Vic literally could have had 10 seconds. It was just they destroyed the Jags' defensive line. There were some mental breakdowns, as I said earlier, with the interior. They'll get that fixed. But other Jason Peters is a guy I cannot wait to see because in week one, they're playing a 34 defense with Jim Haslett, which is a lot of disguise. That is going to be a great matchup, the Eagles' offensive line versus Jim Haslett.
Certainly. And speaking of Jason Peters, he made his return to the field, first time that he played since the end of the 2011 season. We've waited so long to see him back on the football field in a game situation, and we finally got to see it tonight. We found out what he thought of his performance. We're going to send it to Everbank Field in Jacksonville to hear from the All-Pro left tackle.
Clean up on some blocks, you know, my run blocks, a couple pass plays, just to clean it up. That's what rested me.
Did you have any moment to think to yourself, you know, this has been a long road, I'm happy to be back on the field?
Not really. It was going so fast. Now the game's over. You know, I thought about it, but, you know, it's just good to be back out there.
How big a step was tonight as far as, you know, you haven't played in the game in so long?
It was a good feeling. I knew I could play. I've done all the OTAs. It felt good. Did the training camp. Felt good. Just, you know, tweaked my hamstring and missed two preseason games, just trying to make sure it was right. But it felt good tonight, you know, being out there.
Do you feel like you need to play in that last game, or are you ready to go for the opening?
I'm ready. I mean, you didn't see me? I was out there rolling. Took me a couple of, you know, series to get rolling, you know, because I was a little rusty, you know, here. Hat placement, you know, in a bad spot, stuff here and there, but, you know, that's stuff I can clean up in practice.
Fitness-wise, how were you going live for the longest time you've been live this summer?
I felt good. I could have played the whole game. Like I said, you know, this offense, you can't really never get conditioned for it, but, you know, I felt good, you know, the quarters we did play.
Why did Coach say at halftime that you guys were going to go after one more series?
This felt like we was kind of sloppy a little bit, you know, turning the ball over. We want to end on a good note, and we drove the ball down and fumbled it again. So, you know, we just got to clean up little stuff like that.
Did you feel like you guys were sloppy in the first half?
I felt like, you know, we didn't play and execute the plays like we're supposed to. But, you know, that's stuff we can fix. You know, that's why we played the preseason game.
Unfortunately, how ironic is it that the coach wanted to go out at the beginning of the second half because of sloppy play, and the drive ended with the Bryce Brown fumble. But still, it was great to see Jason Peters, the All-Pro left tackle, back out there in action. Part of me wanted to see him go against Jason Babb, former Eagle, of course.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't a set. But still, nonetheless, I thought he equipped himself very nicely in his first game back since like you said during the interview, a twice torn Achilles.
It's a tough deal, but he's done a great job, and the training staff has done a great job of helping the rehab. So getting him there, Lane Johnson, Herrmanns, Mathis, and Kelsey together, I mean, this could be arguably the best offensive line of football if they're all healthy.
Really?
I like the Niners line, but from an athletic standpoint, show me a better five-man unit than this one from athleticism. Peters is arguably the best left tackle in football. Lane Johnson is super athletic. Kelsey and Pouncey, the Steelers Pouncey, probably the two most athletic centers in the game. I'm telling you, this line could get it done. They just haven't played together. It's the first time they played together.
Certainly.
So you got to give him some time.
What you notice about Kelsey is just not only has he been able to come back from the ACL injury, but much stronger at the point of attack. And you figure
he does look bigger. That's a great point.
And you figure going against the 3-4 defenses, he's going to need to be more stout. Mm-hmm. So that's something that he talked about recovering from the ACL injury. That was, he wouldn't say a beneficial part of the injury, but it's something that he adjusted to and made the most out of the situation. Mm-hmm. So coming up in the next couple of days, the Eagles are going to have some tough roster decisions. They have to get the roster from the current state. We have 88 players on the current roster down to 75 by Tuesday. And then already next Saturday, a week from today, they're going to have to get it down to the final 53-man roster. Adam and I will talk about some of the players who helped their case tonight. Well, that and more coming up on the postgame show here presented by Rico.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a Southern-style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2012 and look forward to an even better 2013. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
All right, we're back on the postgame show presented by Rico, Chris McPherson, and Adam Kaplan. And we want to start by talking about some of the players who might have helped their cause tonight. And I certainly think you need to look at the game-winning drive for the Eagles, the 14-play, 99-yard touchdown drive. Nick Foles leads the offense out. They start from their own one-yard line. And certainly a lot of short passes, but definitely key play there for Demaris Johnson, able to convert the first down.
Yeah,
get close to the first down.
Exactly. Unfortunately, he had a fumble. You can't have that. But he made so many plays. He had the big time catch from Foles where he went up and got it. I mean, you know, Demaris is not very tall, but he is fearless on punt returns. He's explosive, and he's instinctive. And that's what you want from your punt returner. You remember the punt return from last year. And then I think Matthew Tucker was really good. I'll tell you, he's a kid who flashes in practice, Chris. Yeah. I thought he did a good job late in the game. And it's going to be hard to keep four running backs. I just can't see it. But, hey, I would tell you this. He's a reason why they traded Felix Jones. Chris Polk really is a real reason, but he's another reason. Tucker is a guy that I think is a practice squad guy. He's got some explosiveness.
Now, if you look at the right side of the line, Michael Bamiro, someone who's made some great strides the last couple of weeks. What do you think of the right tackle's performance?
I'm going to be straight with you. I didn't think he had a prayer about a month ago. I thought he was out of shape. You know, he hadn't played football in a while. He hadn't been, you know. But he's worked hard. He's a smart kid, high character. And the last two games, he's flashed. And you can't teach size. Chip loves, you know, big guys beat up small guys. He's had some pancake blocks. I mean, he's a big kid, and they're going to have a decision to make. I didn't have him on my 53 when I did one 2 weeks ago, but right now I have something to think about. I didn't think they could put him on the field in the regular season. Now it's to the point where you have to think about it. I really do.
What is going to go on from general manager Howie Roseman's perspective in the next, you know, couple days as they start to whittle down to 75-man? Do you think they already have a good guesstimate of who they're going to part ways with? And I'm sure if you look at the game book and see who did not play tonight, that probably is a good sign right there. But what's going on from the personnel standpoint in terms of the next couple days to get ready for these roster cutdowns to 75?
Chris, what they're going to do is they're going to meet tomorrow morning. They're going to watch. In fact, they could actually watch the coaching tape on the plane on their iPads. But they'll get together with the personnel staff tomorrow morning. They'll look at it, and they'll be able to cut guys just off the tape. And you made a good point. And guys who really didn't get in until very late, they're probably going to be gone. Cutting 13 guys will not be hard. The hardest thing is to go from 75 to 53 in a matter of 4 days. That is hard. You could get rid of 12 or 13 very quickly getting to 53. But the biggest problem is the last 10 to 12 is going to be grueling. And that's when trades come down. You know, Howie's Mr. Trade. I mean, he's always has something in his mind, and he's got a lot of relationships with executives around the league. And of course, having Tom Gamble will help, and having a Tom Donahoe, and having a Rick Mueller. These guys have been around for a long, long time, and it's a great job by Howie to bring in these guys who have been around a long time, and hitting on those relationships is really big for Howie, because he needs guys who have relationships these guys have probably been talking to other teams already. Hey, get an idea of when you make calls, who's on your bubble, What positions are you looking at, and that's how you match them up.
And I was going to say, as the Eagles are going to look to continually to address the roster and improve it, do they already have a sense of they're looking at other rosters and figure out who's going to be released and who's going to come on the market?
I mean, yeah, because what happens, like, when you look at the Eagles roster, you see five quarterbacks. Well, there's no way they're keeping five. And there's a realistic chance they won't keep Dennis Dixon unless they traded a quarterback. And right now, I doubt that they're going to do that. You never know. But the bottom line is, when you look at this situation with a quarterback, someone's got to go at least. I cannot see them keeping five quarterbacks going in to the 75. Because what you could have Foles take some snaps. You could also keep Barkley getting at least a quarter. And then the other thing you could do is you could have Dennis Dixon do it. So why do you need to keep Kinney? That's something they'll have to decide. And Kinney, though, he's an interesting player because he's very athletic and he's got a good short area arm. He just didn't have the arm past 25 yards.
So there'll be something to watch in the coming days. Again, Tuesday by 4 p.m., the Eagles have to get the roster from the current state of 88 to 75.
And you might see some tomorrow, to be honest with you.
Yes, yes.
But you're right. And then next Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern is the big cut down to 53.
So what we're going to do now, actually, we're going to send it back to Everbank Field down in Jacksonville. DeSean Jackson, another solid, not really quiet, but he put up some numbers tonight. Had one nice long reception where he just sat down in the zone coverage and Michael Vick delivered him the football. What did DeSean Jackson think of his performance? What does he think of the team through the first three preseason games? Let's just send it down to Jacksonville to find out.
As long as we don't turn the ball over and no penalties, I think this team is far as the limit. So if we were able to go back and look at the film and watch it and get ready for Monday night, as far as the starters and things like that. But We got one more preseason game, and we're just excited for the season.
Sean, do you feel like you have defenses back on their heels?
Oh, for sure. Just getting feedback from other defenses when we go against them. They're tired out, their minds and things like that. So that's a great feeling for us to be able to have a high tempo. See defense out there bending over on their knees and just sucking for gas, sucking for wins. So that's a good thing to have.
How do you minimize the turnovers? How do you stop?
Honestly, man, that's nothing you could really talk about. You can harp on it, but as players, things happen sometimes and it's unfortunate. But I just think whatever we could do to stop turnovers is going to be crucial because last year actually that hurt us a lot, turnovers and things like that. So this year, as long as we're able to protect the ball and less penalties, I think we're going to score something for this team.
All right, DeSean Jackson continuing his very impressive training camp in preseason with another good performance tonight. What do you think of his expectations, his potential in this Chip Kelly offense?
Huge, because if you watch the Andy Reid offense, DeSean mostly line up on one side. Here, and just going by what we saw in practice in the first couple of games, moving him around a little bit. He'll play inside. He'll play outside. They'll move him and move him in motion. That's what you want to see. And I can't wait to see sort of the things that they've been holding back. James Casey, where's he been? He played into the second half. I thought he'd get the ball more, but I think you might see some stuff. This is a guess by me, but knowing how Chip Kelly thinks, based on people I've talked to, you may see Casey, who's a quarterback and who's a baseball player, throw the football a little bit. You might see DeSean, who's a baseball player. Who knows? I think we're going to see stuff that we have no idea. They might try. I just think they're holding stuff back. And you talk about DeSean. He's had perhaps the best training camp of his career. We've all been here since he was drafted. He looks so enthused and re-energized. I can't wait to see it. I just think they're in good shape here at receiver. A little bit better than I thought after losing Backlund, because this is an offense. We haven't even talked about Zach Ertz. The tight ends, Chris, are going to be used a lot. And don't forget, Celek had a nice game. Used his shoulder a little bit, running after the catch, which is big. He's very physical. Ertz, it's clearly going to be used. He's a vertical threat at tight end. They've got so many different weapons here on offense for Michael Vick and the quarterback.
How about the one-handed catch by Jason Avant?
Awesome. Unbelievable. Off a deflection. He's also, not only is he one of their team leaders, he's so reliable. I think people forget how good of a football player he is.
Certainly. We're going to get back to the phone lines again. If you want to jump on board, 215-320-5170. We're going to send it down to Florida. My man Glenn checking in on the post-game show presented by Rico.
Hey guys, how you doing?
What's up, man?
I tell you what, man. I didn't see a lot of the game tonight because I was going to go out to watch it and I didn't. But I got to listen to Mel Reese on the radio, and that's always a great experience. I haven't been able to see a lot. The NFL channel didn't cover anything tonight on the Eagles. So, but I tell you what, through the chip. The era, what I've seen so far, I'm loving. I mean, the offense looks like it's just going to be something special. The offensive line looks like it's going to be everything we thought it was last year and better. And, Pete's talking about, I don't think we've even seen the three tight end package very much. I mean, there's a lot of excitement. I think Jackson's going to be able to sit down in the zone and just make some great catches. And, he's just going to have room to run after that, because it's not going to be man-to-man that much. So, depending on the defense or the coverages. But, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I think Chip Kelly is just running excitement all over the field.
Yeah, as long as they don't turn it over. And I know that's going to get Chip upset. And he obviously was, you could tell, he was pretty intense here for the press conference. This is the first time, first game, it was his first game here. So, he didn't say much. But you could tell he was perturbed. He's very intense in his press conference. I haven't been around him a lot, but I could tell he's bothered by it, the turnovers, because he knows that this offense probably could score 35 to 40 points a game if it's totally perfectly executed, because there's so many guys available here. So the tight ends, you're right. I'd like to see them more involved. I'm sure we'll see that during the regular season.
Glenn, thank you very much for the phone call. And what I love is how Chip Kelly has adjusted the offense. You mentioned they lose Jerry Macklin, a player who was expected to be a vital component to his offense, and actually our own Alex Smith did a story updating his rehab and saying that he's already, I believe, walking without crutches, which is amazing.
Good.
Seeing that he just suffered the injury not that long ago. But you lose him for the season, but it seems like that they haven't to this point missed a beat because you start involving Zach Ertz a lot more into the offense. You get the tight ends involved. You get all of the wide receivers involved. Hoping to see a little more Greg Salas tonight, actually.
He's more of a fifth receiver, but he's a guy, when we were talking about guys pushing the bubble, he would be a guy that I think has a good chance to make it, but we'll see.
Yeah, certainly we'll see that. So we're going to send it back to Everbank Field in Jacksonville to hear from the linebacker who helped spark the offense, Connor Barwin, coming up with the interception, the first turnover created by the first-team defense in the preseason. We're going to get his take on that and his thought of the defense as they now look towards the regular season.
You've never had an interception in a regular season game. Was that your first ever?
Yeah, my first interception was, felt good. Fortunately, it wasn't in a regular season, but it's a good start. It's how you want the preseason to go to lead up to, you know, Monday night.
Can you take us through that play?
I think we were in like a cover four, and I had a slot receiver. I just rerouted him. He ran a little dig behind me, and I, you know, kind of turned around, and the ball was coming, and just put my hands up and, you know, tried to get my hands on it, and then it came right down to me.
It looked like you were
way to defense first season.
I thought we played good. We gave up that real long run, which just some guys on the backside took the wrong angles, which we can't do. We can't give up that kind of play. But I still think we're still coming together. Guys are, you know, learning to just do their job every play, play together. And I thought we played well. It was another step forward.
It looked like you were lined up as a joker on the one in which you got the sack. And it seems like they do that with you every now and then. Can you talk a little bit about that play in general?
Yeah, using
you in that way.
Well, yeah, that's an odd front. And, you know, we do different stuff with it. I insert at different places. We haven't really showed it. It's the first time we showed it. It's good to see you're paying attention. But I just ended up running a twist game with the center, and I knocked the center off, and then there was some pressure on the other side, and I got the sack.
Is that just one of the advantages of having an odd man front?
That's what you do with outside linebackers. I mean, when you have that kind of, you can drop into coverage, you can, you know, rush like a 4-3, you can insert up the middle. That's what you do with a 3-4 and kind of mix things up from even fronts to out fronts.
What are some of the things that you guys as a defense have to shore up before the regular season?
Well, you can always get better at everything. I can just think of right now off my mind that long run, taking better angles to the ball. Because as a run right and everybody just kind of got over, you know, a little over zealous there. And we missed the cutback.
What's amazing about Connor Barwin is, even though that he's a young veteran in the NFL, he's already gone through two of these transitions on defense. They went under Wade Phillips in Houston, and now they're undergoing here in Philadelphia. And he knows that's going to take time, but certainly he likes the progress in terms of from where they started back in the OTAs to where they're at now through three preseason games.
Yeah, and with Houston, though, and Wade Phillips came in, and they did a great job coming out of the lockout. They had a big, but the thing is, though, they were lucky in that they were able to keep most of their players. Here, you had a lot of players leave. And it's people point to the Niners coming 2 years ago, coming out of lockout. They kept the same scheme, just better coaching. I mean, they had almost they only had a few new starters. Here, not only did you change schemes, you have a lot of new players. And some players you quite frankly probably don't fit, but then they start playing well, like Vinnie Kerr, and you go, wait a minute. Vinnie Kerr, he's making plays. That a player like Vinnie Curry is going to make it very, very hard on the personnel staff when it comes to the 53. Because quite frankly, when you flash three or four times a game, even a reserve role, that's probably enough to make people think you should stay. But we'll see.
All right. So we're going to offer our last thoughts on the game. Again, the Eagles coming out with a fourth quarter rally to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars 31-24. We're going to give our final thoughts after this last break here on the postgame show presented by Rico.
He drops into the end zone. He pumps. He looks. He is going deep. And the pass is caught by Deshaun Jackson.
Hi, I'm Deshaun Jackson. You're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay, you'd search by genre if you... If
Mindy Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control, all part of the X1 platform, your entertainment operating system, only from Xfinity.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets, which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed. Your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Hey fans, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
All right, welcome back to the post-game show presented by Rico here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Chris McPherson along with M. Kaplan. Let's delve into the backup quarterback, one Nick Foles, who led the Eagles to the two touchdown drives in the fourth quarter to help the team come out with the win. Of course, the run game, certainly the foundation, the focus of the offense, but still, Nick doing a very good job of making quick reads and getting rid of the football.
Yeah, and he has been accurate in the preseason. The thing that I like to see from him is more throws downfield. And you saw it when they had to come back. He was starting to hit them, and he hit Demaryius Johnson, as you see there. That's one of the big reasons why he did not win this job is his inability to get the ball downfield when the opportunities presented themselves. And that's to be honest with you, that was the thing we saw I think in the first two preseason games. And, you know, when the chances are there, you got to get it downfield. When Vic got time in the first two preseason games, he made defenses pay. He was tremendous. Tonight, I thought Vic could have been better. He was not ultra sharp, but fact of the matter is the line had some breakdowns in the first quarter. I like that Vic threw the ball out of bounds a couple times when he should have. He had the one really bad decision when he fell back and, you know, threw the pick. You can't do that. Foles also had one last week, and the good thing about this is all correctable. That's the good thing about the mistakes we've seen on both sides of the football. The problem is, the one thing that sticks out, though, you got the quarterbacks doing well, correcting themselves. The run defense must be fixed by week one.
Certainly. When you watch the tape on Foles, and you've been breaking down the coach's tape of the first few preseason games, are there opportunities for Foles to go down the field? Are there plays there
some,
made? Or
here's the thing, bring up that point. When Foles made that tremendous pass to Demaryius Johnson, he was actually covered. But there was a little bit of a space that Johnson created, three-fourths into his route. Instead of waiting till him to get it, he got open, he just threw it. And he trusted that Johnson would get there. That's something I would actually point out on Twitter tonight. Vic does not do enough. He's gotten way better at it, but he's not there yet. The timing anticipation part is in every single offense. It's not just in the West Coast. There's a misnomer there. It's clearly in this offense. He's got to do a better job, Vic. Foles is way ahead in that game, but the difference is when Vic gets protection, he's willing to pull the trigger downfield, and I don't know what it is. Foles was not like this last year. We need to see a little bit more out of him downfield.
And he's someone who will stand in the pocket and make throws,
yes,
so it's not someone who's skittish or, gets antsy.
No, but their plays downfield, and he needs to pull the trigger a little bit.
Now, I'm surprised you're able to come up with all this analysis while you're battling the Twitter tough guys out there. So.
You know, they're always out there. They're better than the telephone tough guys,
though. I can understand that, yes. Certainly. Speaking of Nick Foles, let's head it down to Everbank Field, where Foles addressed the media following the Eagles' 31-24 win over Jacksonville.
Is
just keeping the tempo up and executing the plays. I feel really comfortable. No, that's just me. That's what I did. That's what I did in the offseason. I mean, a lot of times I'll switch it up and go in the weight room and do different things in there. And I've always done the striders and just to get the extra conditioning and sort of stretch the body out. But I did that in college. So, and even in high school, for that matter, I've always done something like that. So it's not different. I mean, I think that, you know, it's not necessarily like changing going one from. I know who I am. I know who I am as a person off the field. I know who I am on the field. I'm going to keep working at that to be good at both. I want to be the best on and off the field. Like, I think everybody wants to be that way. So it's a battle every day to, you know, work towards that. But, you know, I'm going to do it. Went under review. I didn't realize we were challenging, and then, you know, it looked like he touched the Y. I didn't know the ruling. I was just, my mindset was 99 yards, first play, let's get off the goal line and get this thing going. Guys in the huddle were great. I thought the, you know, front five did a great job. They really, you know, gave me some time to throw. We did a lot more quick passes, you know, really opened it up. The run game opened it up, and it was definitely a group effort to get down the field, and I thought the guys did a great job.
It was different receivers than you played with the first two games. How much of a challenge was that in adjustment, and how were you able to manage it?
I said before, I feel comfortable throwing to any receiver on this team that we have on this roster. All these guys work hard each and every day. We throw to them in routes on the air. We throw them in team situations. So I've developed a relationship with each and every one of them. So when we were out there, I had all the confidence in the world in each and every one of them. And they did a great job of really catching the ball, getting it, and getting the ball upfield.
All right, so Chip Kelly actually said this as press conference earlier this week, that it's hard that he has to remind himself sometimes that Foles is still a second-year quarterback in this league and he needs to get his reps. What have you thought from him, you know, in his second year in the league, second preseason, having to learn already a second different offense,
that's
one
true.
Completely true. Drastic from the one he had previously. What have been your thoughts overall on Nick Foles?
I think, Chris, when you look at Nick Foles, you see a guy who understands the intricacies of an offense, the timing part of it. That's never been a problem. He also helps his offensive line. He sets him up well. He gets rid of the football. I think mentally he's there, although every once in a while I think he stares down the gun barrel and doesn't pull the trigger, and I don't get that. This we didn't see last year at all. But I think he's well ahead of the game. He's way better than I thought. I was his biggest critic when I went to the Senior Bowl 2 years ago. I mean, I think Bo Wolf and I were there. I mean, he was terrible. I mean, I remember Andy Reid and I talking on the side last year, and you know, I said, Coach, footwork was terrible. What did you see in this guy? He's like, you obviously didn't see some of the games we saw at Arizona. He's way more athletic than you think, and he's willing to pull the trigger. And we have seen that for the most part, and he saw last year. Although last year, though, his arm got tired. You remember that game against the Bengals with a short pass downfield? He's much stronger physically. You know that. You're in the locker room a lot more than I am. I think he's about one of the best backup quarterbacks. Obviously, he came very close to winning the job. I think this is a rare situation, and you don't see this in the National Football League. I'm telling you, Chip would probably say this. I haven't asked him this, but I'm sure he would say this. He knows both quarterbacks could run this offense. That's not the problem. It's just that Michael Vick, for a 3.5-week period, clearly was better than Foles when it counted. Foles was better than the offseason. We know that. We went to the OTAs and the minicamps. But Vick was clearly better from that first practice of the link. I actually wrote that I thought it was the first time I saw Vick since he's been here, probably 3.5 years, with really good anticipation. We saw that great touchdown pass in week one against New England downfield. He got it 3/4 of DeSean Jackson's route. He's got to get back. Vick does to doing that. That's what did not happen tonight. He waited till the receivers and tight ends got open, made some great throws, and he threw for a high percentage. But timing is also big in this offense. That's one thing that people don't talk about that's very important.
So, Adam, Monday, 11:40 a.m., speaking of practices at Lincoln Financial Field, is the final open practice.
Oh, is it 11:40? Okay.
Yes.
Good to know.
11:40 a.m. on Monday. So, folks, hey, look, it's the end of summer. Kids are getting ready to get back to school. If you want to have one last little taste of summer, Bring them down to Lincoln Financial Field. Again, parking is free, admission is free. It'll be a great time for the family. Great tunes. Adam's dancing in the press box during the other open practices. So certainly come out Monday at 11:40. And then the final preseason game against the New York Jets, the annual trip along I-95 up the turnpike to MetLife Stadium. That'll take place Thursday at 7 p.m. We will have our complete coverage with a live chat during the game and the post-game show presented by Rico. You can watch locally on 6ABC or listen on 94WIP. And Adam, I'll leave the floor to you with one last closing thought before we wrap that up for this evening.
Yeah, and Thursday, I thought we saw some really good things in this game, but Thursday is going to be huge. The bottom part of the roster, which I thought last year had issues. The special teams issue, I think, has been corrected. Their special teams are being coached big time well. And they've corrected the coverage stuff, but Thursday is going to be huge for the bottom portion of the roster. That's where Harry Roseman and Tom Gamble and the rest of the staff, they have a big job to do, because that final 53 is going to be nailed down in part because of what happens this Thursday against the Jets.
Sell that last preseason game.
It is. It's
a lot of drama. No, there are a lot of great position battles that are left to be resolved. And, of course, some of them will shake out as the Eagles have to get the roster to 75 by Tuesday at 4 p.m. But that Saturday 6 p.m. deadline is looming large, and Thursday's final preseason game will go a long way towards determining the final 53-man roster. Great stuff from Adam. For Adam, I'm Chris McPherson, and that's going to do it for the postgame show presented by Rico. The Eagles are 2-1 in Chip Kelly's first preseason, coming out with a 31-24 win over Gus Bradley's Jacksonville Jaguars, rallying with two fourth-quarter touchdowns, one by Bryce Brown, the other by Chris Polk. That's going to do it for us here at the NovaCare Complex. Everyone, have a great Eagles night. We'll be right back.